Grace be unto you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness and firstborn from the dead, him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The word of God, that's the basis for our meditation as we continue during the days of Holy Week with Good Friday, is taken from Matthew chapter 27, beginning of verse 35. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over him there. And they put up over his head the accusation written against him, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and the other on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, who went the way of the cross alone, fellow redeemed in his precious blood. A number of years ago, my oldest son, Jacob, introduced me to a little paper book entitled The Book of Useless Information. It's addicting. Did you know that nearly every U.S. president has worn glasses? Did you know that the longest presidential inauguration speech was 1 hour and 45 minutes, delivered by President William Henry Harrison in a snowstorm? And did you know that the same president died of pneumonia a month later? Is it really useless information? It's not useless information, but do you realize that only one word is used in Scripture to describe the crucifixion of Jesus? One word. It's stated rather matter-of-factly that they crucified him. God's word doesn't give all of the gory details, doesn't give us a full-color, glossy color picture of the events of Good Friday. And perhaps that's good. Why no details, though? Because it's the fact of Christ's death and resurrection and what they mean is what matters, not the details. However, when we are given some of the details of the things that happened while Jesus hung on the cross. On this fifth Sunday in Lent, we consider a couple of the events that took place on Friday of Holy Week. We look upon the crucified Jesus and listen to the insults of Good Friday. The dying Jesus was insulted by Roman soldiers, by Pilate, by passers-by, and even by the buttoned-up religious leaders. We hear their insults, and we ask that the Spirit of God bless our study of these words. Amen. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over him there. There's no question that the Roman soldiers insulted Jesus and had what can only be described as sadistic fun at the expense of the Son of God. We're given some of the details. They gathered the whole garrison of soldiers around him in the praetorium, and they made fun of him. They dressed him in a scarlet robe, like a king. They presented him with a reed for a scepter, and then they beat him with it. They didn't only insult him at the praetorium, they also insulted him, or continued their insulting, at Calvary. After they had nailed him to the cross, they treated him like he was already dead. It was understood that the soldiers of the execution detail were entitled to the remaining property of the condemned, but they didn't even wait for him to die. But they divided up his possessions in front of him. His cloak, his tunic, his belt, his sandals, his head covering. Little did they know that they were even then fulfilling Holy Scripture, the words taken from Psalm 22, verse 18. But Jesus is still insulted today when people act like he's dead. Do we sometimes act that way? Act like Jesus is dead or in some way unable to help us, like the soldiers did at the foot of the cross, pretending he was already dead. When our troubles, our stresses, and our concerns rise to flood level in our lives, we sometimes despair, and in depression, we live like all is lost and gone, or like Jesus is dead. When we're down and out, when nothing is going right, we should instead ask, is Jesus dead? No. Can he not help me? Of course he can. Perhaps I should stop wallowing in my troubles. The Holy Spirit will lift us up in the midst of the storm, as he once did the psalmist, who said afterward, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And rather than moan about our problems, God help us to live each day not like it's Good Friday and Jesus is dying or dead, but like it's Easter Sunday. Jesus is alive and rules all things for my benefit and longs to hear my prayer. The soldiers weren't the only ones to insult Jesus on Good Friday. While they hung the accusation on the cross above his head, it wasn't their idea. That was Pontius Pilate's. And they put up over his head the accusation written against him, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and another on the left. History tells us that it was common to indicate the charges against the person who was crucified by writing it on a sign. Sometimes the person would carry it hung around their necks on the way to the place of execution. Other times somebody else would carry it in front of the procession so everyone could see why this person was being put to death. In Jesus' case, it was fastened even to the cross above his head. And it was clearly meant by Pilate to be a joke. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Did Pontius Pilate really think that Jesus was a king or the King of the Jews? Did he believe Jesus to be a man of power and authority? Of course he didn't. He asked repeatedly to him, throughout his trial, are you a king? The sign above Jesus' head was meant as an insult to the Jews and an insult of Jesus. This is Jesus, the finest and only king the Jews can muster. He's dying on a cross between two criminals. What a joke. But you will notice that the accusation against Jesus said nothing about a crime, nothing about guilt. Pontius Pilate knew that that was the case. Frankly, if Pontius Pilate had known the whole truth, perhaps he'd have written, this is Jesus, he dies for the sins of all of humankind. The truth is, he dies for sin, but not his own, but those laid upon him by our merciful God. Pontius Pilate mocked Jesus' kingship, and people still do today. I'm not just talking about the unbelieving who laugh and say that he has no real power or authority in matters of life and death. He does. I guarantee there will be no laughing when the judgment day dawns and he comes on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. When the judgment day dawns and they must stand before the judge in their sins and with their guilt, there will be no laughing or mocking them. The one who bled and died beneath that sign has the authority and the power to forgive sins. He can forgive because he didn't just die to atone for original sin, but for actual sin as well. And he had proved on an earlier day that he has both the authority and the power to forgive sin when he forgave the sins of the paralytic and the people questioned it. He said, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, then he said to the paralytic, son, rise, take up your bed, go to your house. And he did. May we never insult Jesus by doubting that he's paid for our sins. Let's not insult him or tarnish his sacrifice further by offering to make up for what we have done in one fashion or another. Moreover, let's take comfort in the fact that Jesus was not insulted to spend time with sinners. He came to save us. He's not insulted when we call upon him in faith at the doorstep of death, like the repentant thief. They weren't the only ones to insult Jesus. Those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. The soldiers, Pontius Pilate, even strangers who passed by Calvary that day also insulted him. They shook their heads at him and mocked the words that he had spoken. They considered him a blowhard, a big talker, unable to deliver on his claim. But the sad truth is, in rejecting the Son of God, they were themselves indicted. The word of Christ will stand as their judgment on the last day. As Jesus said, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. What's even more sad is the fact that they misinterpreted his words, as many do who carelessly handle his word today. Jesus never said that he would tear down the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, but in fact, that if they tore down the temple of his body, if they put him to death, he would rise in 3 days. Which he did, which proves that he is in fact the Son of God. Isn't it ironic? They said he can't be God's son if he won't save himself. They couldn't have been more wrong. They demanded proof that he was the Son of God, and the only proof they would accept was his coming down from the cross. Think about it. Satan did the same thing in the wilderness. Prove you're the Son of God by making these rocks into bread. But would it have really mattered? Would they have changed their tune if he came down from the cross in some display of power and authority? No. No, they had the scriptures already, the words of Moses and the prophets that foretold these very things, and they would not have believed if he gave them yet another proof or sign of his divinity. In fact, they would not even believe when he came back from the dead. And they had firsthand witnesses. Still today, people insult Jesus by denying that he's God. It's not just the cults who suggest that Jesus isn't really God, just a God, but not the real God. But also the learned in our society who arrogantly reject his word. That's not possible, they say. In 2 weeks, God willing, we'll rejoice and praise our God as we see again the resurrection as proof that he is the Son of God. He will be declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, as the Apostle Paul said in Romans. We'll see who is insulted then. Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him." Finally, even the prim and proper, the religious leaders insulted Jesus. They threw their dignity and their integrity out the window and gave free rein to the basest and ugliest of their passions. And in so doing, they unwittingly quoted Holy Scripture. They insulted his helping of others. "He saved others" was not an admission, but a denial. "He supposedly saved others, but look here, he doesn't even have the power to save himself. How pathetic." They insulted his claim to be the promised Savior. "He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross. If he does, we'll believe he's the Christ. Christ isn't supposed to die. He's supposed to live." Truth was that even then he was winning the battle for their souls by not coming down from the cross. Would it really have mattered to the religious leaders? Would they have changed their tune had he descended from the cross in dramatic fashion? No. Unbelief is stubbornly blind in dismissing Jesus. It would have mattered to us, though. If Jesus had come down from the cross, he'd have proved himself to be no Savior. If Jesus had come down from the cross, there would have been no conclusion to the work of salvation. No words, "It is finished." If Jesus had come down from the cross, there would be no torn veil in the temple. No earthquake, no atonement, no resurrection. If Jesus had come down from the cross, we'd have no certainty of life facing death. No hope of pardon. It would have been far worse for us if it could have been said, "He saved himself, but he can't save others." We hear their insults, and we rejoice that Jesus dismissed them and did not revile in return, but gave his life for sinners. When we are insulted for our faith, may we do the same. Dismiss it. And remember, it is finished, because he didn't come down from the cross, but went to the grave as well. May God strengthen our faith to that end. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.